I remember saying to Janet, saying, just show me how to do it.
I know.
Thank you. Okay. If, it looks like everybody is there. I guess we're probably going to need a roll call just to make sure we have a quorum. If we could, please.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Present.
Congressman Tillman.
Here.
Congressman Walker.
Here.
Speaker Pratt.
Here.
Congressman Big Horse.
Here.
And Chairwoman Stabler.
Present. Thank you all. And thank you for allowing the break. Do we have any more questions on our past discussion? Otherwise, I'll turn it back over to Corinne for any other discussion.
This is Brandy.
Oh, Congresswoman Lemon, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just kind of want to, it's really a question, but also kind of like just a little clarification statement possibly. And when looking at this and at the scope of work that has been contracted to RADW, Corinne and Carol, when you looked at it, because I don't know if the question, if I got my question answered, that second speaker did bring forth, concerning PRT, concerning behavioral health, concerning, assisted living. In your scope of work, were these particular scopes, meaning the PRT scope, which is our primary residential treatment, which includes transitional living, and then our assisted living scope, were these things in the original contract with you guys to go through, or is this something that has been mentioned as a sidebar? And the reason I'm asking is because that would definitely delineate as to why some of these areas aren't necessarily up to the level that some of us may feel that they need to be, with being that we haven't a transition team yet, and we don't have one in place, internal or external, and which is not a complaint, it's just a fact. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, that's kind of where I just kind of wanted some clarification on that, because I feel like that you guys were asked to look at restructuring what we currently have by taking the clinic as a standalone entity and what it would look like as the health clinic, and not necessarily with the other pieces that we have now added ourselves under our healthcare system umbrella, because we've grown and we're going to continue to grow. And I feel that at this point that whoever we have on consult or contract, these are fluid. We're going to have to be fluid documents and ever changing, especially when the transition team gets in and digs their heels in, both internal and external, and finding things that normally do pop up in the normal workflow of situations, and having to either work through them or find workarounds, or however you want to say it. Because to me, this is just a little bit of an outline on what you all would recommend to get us going, get us started, but to also have something to fall back on, the transition team to fall back on and look at, well, this is what they recommended, and this is the direction that we want to go. And it, even if it's a recommendation, we may not want to go the straight narrow road that you had maybe laid out for us, but add some other things in, because that does happen when you build clinics and you restructure. I just know because I've done it in my past employment. And so I just know that we built a $2 million facility, and it was the first program process I had been on, and so many things in the process of it, we didn't have a consultant, and we really could have benefited from one, because we stumbled several times, and some of the things we did we couldn't fix. And, you know, we had to start over. So that's kind of just what I wanted to, as an overview, just to give you the opportunity to say that, you know, was PRT and assisted living in the contract that, and the scope of work that you guys were contracted for?
So, not per se, like you're speaking to, but just like you say, the clinic and whatever programs it was operating, and how do we get it to be a self-governed facility, you know, completely kind of on its own. And so you are certainly correct in that, you know, it needs to be kind of fluid. So whereas to say, okay, to take over what you have now, which is why we, and it didn't include the financial analysis. So it's like, okay, here's what it looks like you are right now with the information we gathered. Here's what you need to add that administrative infrastructure in place to be completely self-governed on your own. And then here's, you know, what it looks like to kind of get that basic structure in place to be self-governed and then go from here. And so that's basically what was in the scope. And you're correct. I mean, it didn't really mention these other things other than these were programs that are being administered under the scope of the health board overall, if you will, per the nation's resolution. So when we look at the nation's resolution and said, what does it say that this board is going to cover? That's when we brought in these other areas for the information we could find for them at the time. So if you think about it too, I think we started last May or June. So we were provided with whatever information was around at that time when we initially did these and did the interviews.
Okay, may I follow up?
Mm-hmm. Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And so now the other component, which is really the driving force to get us, I want to call it over the hump. We've been talking about a new mm-hmm. health clinic many, many, many moons. Mm-hmm. And you're not the first consulting group to come in for a restructuring piece of it either. And the other report was never given any credence, I guess, would be the best way to... in my opinion, other people may feel differently. So the financial analysis, which, you know, what person or group in their right mind would go ahead and jump in that, you know, vat without having the actual financial analysis in front of us. And so that would be another aspect for you guys to an add-on for the contract. Would that be so?
Yes, if that's what you know you wanted us to do, add on into that.
You know, really, when you kind of think about it, and our timeline lays this out pretty well. You know, the focus for this was really what it would take to create that self-governance. So the thing that we knew is that when the clinic is on its own, that whole administrative backbone is completely gone. So there were full functions that needed to be replaced that we've included. But I love the direction that the conversation is going because really looking at the financial implications of adding, adding positions, building out behavioral health, building out the mental health component of this. Projecting out the funding sources and then looking at how they would be deployed. That's the next natural step for this.
Correct. And that's part of our recommendations in this whole, yes. You know, the transition teams for both a new facility and to transition this is to bring in that financial plan. And you need those definitely for both and the different areas that you're building for sure. Both administrative capacity and service. And I have found in healthcare, you need both. I mean, you can't really build a lot of great services and continue building and figuring out how to make those services more accessible and readily available to your population without having a strong administrative structure to help facilitate that. And of course, revenue is a huge driver of that. So, you know, having that administrative team that can help keep that going, as well as the compliance areas, those are all key to growth. So, it kind of all goes hand in hand. And, you know, everybody has to work together too. I mean, you have to have the executive team working with the board, working with the nation's congressional committees and the nation's executive team, so that, you know, it all works. And so how do you establish those communications and planning? And so you actually move forward on things is really probably the key that you need to get going at this point.
Which is this is Rivard. I also, you know, noticed that there's two different charts that shows it's kind of confusing, I guess, that there's two different charts. So if you go to both of them, they say the Office of the Chief and then the Osage Nation Health Authority Board. And then it has the CMO as the ex, the office member of the board. But on the org chart that you have on the screen right now, I don't see the clinic administrator or health director.
Yeah. If I could just kind of explain how the charts all fit together. Zach, can you go to the first one, please? The very first one. Okay. This actually shows the overall structure. The clinic administrator oversees the administrative function, and then the chief medical officer oversees the clinical aspect. So when you look at the following two charts, the first one shows the administrative function, which is overseen by the clinic administrator. The second one shows what the chief medical officer oversees. So that's the clinical piece. So it's all part of the same organizational structure. It's just that we thought this would be a little bit easier to show how all of these pieces fit together.
Okay. And I noticed in the footnotes, and one thing that I don't know that's working, and I'm glad that Sandra's on the call, because again, this all of this falls on the board, is that the CMO has the decision-making authority over the purchased referred care. And I think that's probably one of our areas that have the most complaints from our constituents. And so I feel like that's just not working. And that's kind of what has been in place for some time now. And I would hope the board looks at that. And as we transition and progress through this, and, you know, I think that, so now we've got this document, and I don't know how you guys are working with the board. I'm not really on this committee. I'm just participating because it's important to me as a congresswoman, and how these things get adjusted or changed. And you mentioned a transition and a planning committee and things of that nature. But again, I don't want it to stop. I'd like for this to progress, of course, and keep moving and keep it alive. Definitely, again, the financial piece that I mentioned and creating those other entities inside, because again, and it goes back to probably just the name of the grants. And a lot of times we get stuck on that. Prevention. Why would prevention be over public health and CHRs? To me, that's definitely a counseling center or our treatment facility. Prevention of what? And that's never been defined. And that's an area that I would look to our board to look into. What are you preventing? Diabetes, obesity, alcoholism, drug addiction. What are we preventing there? And I think that something that's been lacking over the years is the defining that. And I think Congresswoman Lemon has mentioned many times, what does assisted living mean to us as a nation? You know, all of those things. But my comment goes to, I just hope that we keep this discussion going. That would be with the health authority board and the health committee and what have you. But I'm really looking forward to this becoming a health system plan that incorporates everything that we put into it, and that we can see it, and it, that's what drives us. Because I'm a person that supports our strategic plan, our master campus plan, any type of thing that our folks have had buy into, I like to follow that plan and not try to veer off. But it looks like this is very much in prenatal stages, that it's on paper, and it needs a lot of attention. It looks like there's other steps that need to be taken to say, what is this? So what is, I guess my question, what is the next step as far as the health authority board, and how you make changes, and when are you going to, who is the transition team? Not literally mean names, but when is that going to come about in the planning committee? And the reason I ask is because we're getting ready to go into elections for Congress and our chiefs. And I don't want the plan to stop. I don't want people appointed to a planning and transitional team and then be replaced later. And so I'm looking at it through those eyes. Like, are you guys going to be the transitional and planning team as the consultants? Or I don't know, Sindra, what you're looking at, what you're thinking. And I'm really, that would be up to the health authority board, of course, not really you guys, but REDW, but more so the health authority board.
Chair, may I respond?
Yes, Sindra, go ahead.
All right. Thank you, second speaker. Yes, our next step now, we are following REDW's lead. They've given us what we need to do next. Our next step is we're going to have to draft charters and start working plans. How are we going to do that? We're going to have to find people. We need to talk to the best of the best, find people in our areas. We want to talk to our administrators, people on Congress who have a vested interest, and people in our clinic as well. Then also we'll have to contract with outsiders such as REDW and or others who are experts in HR, who are experts in IT, who are experts in finance to help us with those, to put them on our teams to help us with transition. And I expect to have to be contacting IHS. We want to work with Candy Thomas as well, because she's going to help guide us with self-governance. So there are a lot of things that we have to put in place. One of the reasons why we knew it would take some time and we couldn't have it done by January the 1st. This being healthcare, we are going to ensure that every piece is done correctly, because this is going to stand for generations. That is our intention. So we've started with planning. Our planning, now we have our guideline, our map to go, and our next thing to do is to put our teams together. And any help that we generate from the outside, anything that anyone wants to bring to us, we're going to listen to them and hear them out and move along. So we thank you. If you have input for us, if you have ideas for us, if you want to stand on our teams, please let us know and we will take all comers.
Anyone else have anything or any questions? I just have one question, and it may not be able to be answered right now at this time, but when we first started this, started talking about and thinking about legislation, it had to do with converting the clinic to be self-sustaining, completely administratively self-sustaining. And at that time, the talk was to not make it an outside entity. So now I think it's going to be, even though it could still be classified as a tribal enterprise, talking about making it its own LLC. And so I just wondered if that has been discussed or if there's any comment to it. And I guess that's to any of the consultants, if you have had that brought to you.
We haven't been asked to look at that from a legal perspective. And, you know, I think we've seen both work pretty well in Indian country. And it just kind of goes back to each particular tribe and whether they like the LLC form or whether it's just called a legally separate entity with its own corporate bylaws, or whether it's just a separate entity formed under a resolution. So we've seen all of those forms take shape. It really comes down to what authority is delegated to that particular entity and, you know, how they operate and communicate. And so there's both legal risk and as well as financial risk that are incorporated into those documents as organizational structure, as to how independent, I guess you would say, they are from the tribe as a separate structure. But certainly having the ability to, for instance, you know, take on the compliance issues of accreditation, you know, is that something that the nation feels is a risk that they can give this board and then have it not be on the nation's council? Or is that with oversight by the nation, or is that something that the nation wants to retain? So that's a huge area to think about with your legal counsel, as well as, you know, issuing debt or building things. Certainly most tribal entities aren't able to own land. But sometimes they can own the assets and buildings and things like that. So, and then also there's usually some type of budget consideration as to who approves whose budgets and who has a contract with the federal government. So some tribes will form a separate corporation and they'll ask IHS to give the contract to that corporation through a resolution. Others just, it's still in the name of the nation, and then in their scope of work, they say they're giving it to their healthcare board to operate, and they're the responsible entity. So a lot of those considerations just have to be kind of discussed and come to consensus with at your nation as to how you see that best operating. But certainly from an operating and infrastructure capacity, that, you know, it is best to have all of these functions housed within one entity that can then continue to grow and plan and make sure quality care is in place.
Sure. Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. We've just got a few minutes left for this meeting. And just wanted to say that, of course, we're not going to get to the rest of the agenda today, so I will reschedule time for that. I had a request to actually bring in the architects over the floor plan for the new clinic, and I didn't because I was worried that this was going to take a lot more time. So I was just going to do a quick rundown on and with Cindra and kind of show where they are today, because they've still got work to do on it. But we do have floor plans for a 64,000 square foot facility based on based on a study that we did early on, and the algorithm, the IHS algorithm on square footage and stuff. So we didn't just do it blindly. We actually had a consultants and a plan. And so we have that, and they do have a location. And so now it's just, you know, going back and pulling all this together. And so I really enjoyed this conversation. I really enjoyed reading the report and looking at it, and I'm anxious for more meetings and working with the health board on and hearing from their next steps and giving them whatever support they need to keep moving forward. I had something else I was going to bring up so the committee would know, and that was over, and on the legislation, we'll take that up on another day too. Right now in my head, the legislation is not far off from what they've brought us, but there are those questions that have to ask as far as the business structure. And, okay. And so those, that's where we need the executive to come in and probably, I guess, the attorney general or whoever, and we'll get to the bottom of that. I am sorry, it doesn't look like the, maybe I'm not seeing it, but I don't see that executive joined us at all today. So that's too bad. But like I said, I've really enjoyed this report, enjoyed hearing from REDW and hearing for the Congress members that asked questions and spoke. I thought that was did an excellent job there. Does anybody have any closing remarks or comments or any questions for any of us, I guess? Okay. REDW, did you have anything in closing or are we?
No, other than we're happy to, if we have to look at the PRT, and I think the prevention is probably community health prevention, so we can maybe, you know, entitle it that, Carol, and right. Just update that chart a bit and we can finalize that. We're just, you know, any way that we can help out, we're certainly happy to do. I'm happy to hear that you had the square footage plan done with the IHS parameters, because if you go after IHS funding, that'll be great. You'll have that plan in place. The one thing I would tell you in my experience in planning facilities is the IHS model doesn't account for much administrative space, because most of their administrative functions are done, you know,
right,
area and elsewhere. So they never have enough administrative space in their plan. So make sure you include that as well as some of the other functional areas that will be needed. But I'm happy to hear that you're well on the way for that. And you know, any way we can continue to help you all out, we're happy to do. So we thank you so much for the opportunity to serve you all. And look forward to hearing someday about the new opening of the new facility, so we can come join you in a grand opening.
Yeah, it's thrilling to think about it.
Sure. Oh, it is for us too. I mean, it's a dream come true. Sindra, do you have anything you'd like to say, any closing comments?
Thank you, REDW, Carol, Corinne, Zach, for your presentation, for your hard work. I'm sure we will be reaching out to you just to pick your brains and maybe have you help us with other pieces that we have going forward. And to Congresswoman Stabler, thank you for allowing us this presentation. To the rest of Congress, thank you for listening. Know that we're going forward, we're moving forward in a positive manner, and we're very excited with everything that lay before us. Thank you for your questions. Please know that I'm available at any time to talk to. Give me a call. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. Unless committee or members have anything else, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Have a motion. Do we have a second? Motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor of adjournment signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, yes. Say no. All right. We are adjourned. 2:55. Thank you.
Take care, everyone.
Thank you again.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.